With Cardinal Pell charged with child sex crimes yesterday, the issue of trauma is high on the agenda this week. Just before the charges were announced, mental health commissions around the country got together and released their wish lists for what happens after the Royal Commission concludes. Head of the New South Wales Mental Health Commission, John Fenley, says, "While we have learned much about dealing with trauma in recent times, there's still far to go."
And I think the answer to that is that we're getting there. I suppose increasingly across Australia and certainly New South Wales, there is an increasing awareness of the need to have trauma-informed care. And that if you don't understand what has happened to someone, if you don't respond appropriately to them, then it's likely that you're trying to care for them might actually just re-traumatise them and make it more difficult for them to feel safe receiving any service. And that can see people turning away from services. And given that how difficult this is, particularly with child sexual abuse, where it can take a long time for people to be brave enough to come forward about that, if they encounter a service which has no idea about how to deal with someone who's experienced service, they may quickly turn away and we may not see them again. And that can lead to incredibly poor outcomes for that person.
And just beyond the individual here who may have experienced trauma, based on what you were saying there, can we expect that there is actually maybe an underreporting or undercounting the number of people who are actually have this kind of problem and need this kind of care?
Look, there's no question that we are seeing every day in our hospitals and through other services, people who we see presenting with perhaps depression or anxiety or other disorders, or people who are presenting with having, say, challenging behavioural issues. And what we're completely missing is what happened to them in the past and what has led to this presentation. So sometimes what we've done is that we've treated the symptoms that are appearing in front of us, but never understanding the underlying cause, and therefore never adequately dealing with that. And that can really lead to, firstly, a wasted opportunity. We can struggle sometimes to understand why we're having so little success in achieving recovery with somebody who might be struggling with a mental illness. But we won't do that until we can actually grapple with their history and understand what happened to them and what's driving them. And what we know is that people, unless we approach things in a sort of both a respectful way to the person in terms of having a sort of a strengths approach to the person, but also that we actually look at those key issues around trauma-informed care with those sort of five foundational principles that we refer to in the paper, namely safety, trustworthiness, choice, collaboration and empowerment. These are values which were not commonly seen within the sort of hospital-based type medical model in the past. Now, I stress that increasingly our health system is becoming better informed about this, but we need to actually build that trauma capability across the full spectrum of services that someone's going to encounter, because a person might have an encounter with human services of some sort, might be family and community services, and if they're missed at that point, we may miss them forever. And so we need to really make sure that at every point across the service system, we have an understanding and appreciation of what trauma-informed means in order to not miss the opportunity. And you made the point that, we have through the Royal Commission into Institutional Sexual Abuse a window now on a problem that we could never have even possibly understood or estimated 10 years ago. And this opportunity to understand that right across major institutions, people who had charge of children, sexual abuse was happening, is something we can never turn our back on. As terrible as that is, it really is the tip of the iceberg in terms of, for instance, sexual abuse alone. We know that in the main, the bulk of that, or the largest numbers of that, occur within families. And then beyond that, we've got, whilst the focus on sexual abuse is entirely understandable, we have many other forms of abuse that young children suffer, including other forms of physical abuse and violence, and of course emotional deprivation, emotional abuse.
John Fanley, head of the New South Wales Mental Health Commission, ending that story.